Welcome to Bible Shots. My name is Russell Matthews, and I'm on the team at City Bible Forum, and I'm joining you from Sydney. City Bible Forum is the organizers of Bible Shots itself, and we want to make sure we're glad that you've joined us online for the final week of Bible Shots for 2020. Bible Shots exist because we want to take out our time to read the Bible during the day, because we think it's something that's relevant for us today. The message of the Bible is one that applies to all of us, even in this COVID existence we find ourselves in. We're glad you can join us. As long as you're happy to consider the Bible, we're glad that you're here. Regardless of your faith position, we hope that you can consider the substance of the talk today from Stephen McAlpine and even ask your questions of our speaker. There's a button down below that says Q&A, and you can send in your questions that way. You can send in your questions during the talk itself. For those who might be joining us for the first time, we want to welcome you, as we welcome everybody every single week, especially for the support throughout the year. And even though it is the last week, I think that you'll really be encouraged by today. Now, just kind of explain real quickly what is going to be going on today. Today, we have a couple of phases. One is I'm going to be reading a portion of the Bible that you'll see in Mark 7. I'll have it on the screen for you available, but also if you do have a copy of the Bible, you're more than welcome to follow along with that. And also our speaker, Stephen McAlpine, who kind of labels himself as a cultural communicator, also commentator and author, blogger, and pastor. Stephen will be speaking today to finish out this great series you've been listening to called You Do You. And today's topic specifically is on spirituality. You Do You sounds really good. It encourages people to be authentic and be true to who they are. But it kind of, in this world of conflict and division, you'd think that You Do You would be a guiding principle for many people. But what would life be like if everyone did adopt such a You Do You attitude? What if You Do You is not as loving as we would think and maybe leads to more conflict and even more division? Is there a better way to live and to love? Well, Stephen McAlpine really considers this with his talk today. It's not necessarily You Do You as a loving attitude, but really he's going to be looking at it from a spiritual standpoint. Specifically, Stephen will be allow us to consider what a better way to live and to love based on the pages of the Bible and the messages of Jesus. So during the talk, we really encourage you to take the time to go through and ask your questions as well as you listened if you want to take notes. And then at the end of the talk, we'll make sure we apply as many of the questions or send those on to Stephen as many as we can. So I'm going to share my screen with you, and we're going to go through and look at the passage in Mark 7. And so if you want to join me in reading, we can do that. And so here we go. So we start in Mark 7, verses 1 through 7. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered round Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews did not eat unless they gave their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating food with their defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, and their teachings are merely human rules." Let me move down in Mark chapter 7. We go to the sentence mark number 14. There we begin. It says, "Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, 'Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it comes out of a person that defiles them. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. 'Are you so dull?' he asked. 'Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body.' In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean." He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from the inside and defile a person.
Thanks, Ross. Great to be with you here for the last week of Bible Shots for the Year and the last in this series. And we're looking at spirituality in our You Do You series. Now, in the Bible passage we're looking at today, we see Jesus challenges hearers about their foundational religious beliefs. But he does so in such a way that his words not only lay down a challenge to today's more progressive understanding of the word spirituality, a spiritual understanding of faith, but it directly challenges a central problem, the same problem, in fact, that's present in the more traditional religious understanding of faith as well. And in our culture today, I think people say they're spiritual but not religious, setting themselves apart from a more rigid traditional way of understanding spirituality and saying spirituality is more liberated and free. But I want to show you that Jesus challenges both traditional religion and modern spirituality at the same time under the You Do You rubric. He's saying there's something about both of those traditional and modern ways of thinking that we think about it that are problematic. Now, we're in a different time to Jesus, and it's very easy to contrast a traditionally religious person with a non-traditional spiritual person. So the traditional religious person is sort of saying, well, we need to get back to the way we did it before the therapeutic age where it was all about the fields. And the non-traditional spirituality person saying, well, we need to move on from those rigid rules because they didn't help anyone. It was just outward conformity. Those things kept us from being our true and authentic selves. But in this passage, Jesus puts the spotlight on both and says, actually, you're both missing something. There's a way of being religious as well as a way of being spiritual in the modern sense that keeps you at the center of what you're doing and keeps God right at the margins. It keeps you at the center. It keeps you doing you. Declan, my son, and I went to the movies the first time since COVID the other day, and we watched the movie Onward, which is a great Pixar movie. But before we even got to the movie, not even halfway through the first trailer, and we haven't been to a trailer since March, we've forgotten what they... There's bits before the movie. I forgot about that. The bit where you eat all your popcorn before the movie starts. Not even halfway through the first trailer, we heard the classic Disney line in a movie. Follow what's in your heart. Follow what's in your heart. Now, if there were a set of modern commandments, that would be numero uno, wouldn't it? Follow what's in your heart. It's the mantra. Every Hollywood script, we marinate in it. Everything tells us this in our pop culture. And the cultural observation is that religion's on the way down. It's old, it's outdated in its rules, and spirituality is on the way up. It's new, it's relevant, and it's about the feels. And if you go to reachout.com, which is a site about life for young people and parents and schools, it says this about spirituality. Spirituality is very personal and can really mean anything you want it to mean. It doesn't have anything to do with religion, and there's no right or wrong way to practice it. Maybe you've heard about spirituality, but aren't really sure what it is. Well, it's different to religion, and you can practice it even if you're not religious. I would say that's the guts of the modern take on spirituality. It can mean what you want it to mean. It is not connected to a truth, but it is connected only to your truth, to your you do you truth. There is no right or wrong way to practice it. That comment reveals a deep sense of institutional mistrust. And in our culture, that takes in politics, law, education, media, and religion. There's an attraction to this sort of modern idea of spirituality that keeps rules, rigid rules, that want to force you to think like other people at arm's length. And that keeps others at arm's length too. See, the Reach Out page and many others that I looked at simply reflected what the default has become in the modern West. Spirituality has nothing to do with other people. It's inner. It's got little, if anything, to do with what others think or what might be publicly right or wrong if they try to impose a religious or moral boundary on you. Now, the word religion literally means to bind or an obligation to God, to others, or to yourself. And if you do religion rather than spirituality, according to things like Reach Out or Hollywood, then you're in danger of doing harm to yourself. You're in absolute danger if you're not doing spirituality and you're doing religion, because you're treading on other people's freedoms. And freedom, personal autonomy, is, as we discovered in week one, the foundation stone of you do you. So spirituality doesn't talk about the truth. It talks about your truth. It doesn't acknowledge the way. It acknowledges your way. It doesn't celebrate the life. It celebrates your life, your way of doing you. And in an internalized world where the search for the authentic self lies within, and as deep as you can go inside yourself to find your true self, to say otherwise than what I've just said is a challenge to someone's personal autonomy and therefore possibly an act of violence. Yet in this story in Mark's gospel, Jesus challenges our personal desires and autonomies. So let's turn to it and see what Jesus might have to say to both the traditional religious person and the modern spiritual person and their versions of you do you. Now, an observation from the passage, it's a question here of religious observation. It says the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law saw that some of Jesus' disciples were eating food with hands that were undefiled, that is unwashed. And they have all these traditions about what you wash and how you wash when you come in from the marketplace, which seemed completely stupid up until about March this year, when you won't even go into Bunnings without taking a shot of the hand sanitizer. It sounded dumb. But imagine going into Bunnings and people aren't using this hand sanitizer. They would get exactly the same look that the disciples got from the Pharisees. Religious leaders wanted purity of your body, of your hands, because it was a highlight to inner purity. It was a way of saying, I'm separate from that dirty marketplace out there. So religious leaders are bringing tradition, their tradition, to Jesus, who is the he's the teacher that they are up against. And they accuse his disciples of not obeying the traditions. And Jesus does what he often does. He turns tables. Now, this time he's doing it figuratively. He does do it literally in other cases. But here he turns the tables because he says to these religious leaders in Jerusalem, Isaiah, the prophet in the Old Testament, was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. Now, the word hypocrite in Jesus' day, it was a Jewish Greek word, and it simply meant an actor, a face mask over an actor. So all Greek plays, the actors wore face masks. And Jesus is saying, you're masking something about yourself. You're hypocrites. Isaiah was right, as it's written. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. And Jesus takes a passage from Isaiah 29, where the religious people are doing the same thing as the religious people in his day. And he shows them up. He's saying that not that the tradition itself is wrong, but it's replacing the heart of religion. Or more to the point, it's taking the heart of religion and pulling it out and replacing it with something darker. Tradition is being used as a mask. He says, you are honoring God with your lips, but your hearts are far from God. And if they don't get it, Jesus makes it plain in verse 8, which we haven't read out. But Jesus says this to them, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. You've gone, whew, God's law, but human tradition. And then Jesus gives an example of how they're doing that. And he says this in verse 9, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses says, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you've handed down, and you do many things like that. Now, let me explain that briefly. It sounds a bit complicated, but the korban that I mentioned was a tradition that in order to be able to keep the things you have for yourself, you could declare them devoted to God, that you would live your life in such a way that you devoted yourself to God and you used the stuff that you had for yourself because you were devoted to God. And Jesus says the very command to honor your parents, you're breaking because you're not looking after your aging, less fortunate parents with the stuff you have. You're keeping it for yourself. you're breaking one of the Ten Commandments and justifying it by tradition. And you're doing it for you do you. You're doing it to keep what you want. It's using rigid tradition to actually get what you want and putting God's command about how you help others aside. And then Jesus says something to the crowd, which is in our second reading, that nails the other side of the you do you coin, the spirituality side. Verse 14, again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." See, here's something inside you that's the problem, says Jesus. And that's true of you, whether you're traditionally religious or modern spiritual. And straight away, his comment there that it's what's inside you that defiles you, that puts him on a collision course with any spirituality that says, look into your heart, follow your heart. And the disciples don't get it. They ask him about the parable and he says, "Are you so dull?" Like, duh. Jesus swipes away the various food laws with the obvious point that whatever goes into your stomach comes out. And then says this, other stuff comes out of you too, and it's much more unclean than your poo. That's what he's saying. Verse 20, he says this, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. Do you see that? See it right there? Disney says, follow your heart. Jesus says, do that, you'll destroy the planet. You'll destroy people on the planet who are made in the image of God. There's nothing good in there, because out of your heart come these evil things. Now, the heart in the Bible is the place of the will. And evil thoughts come from the heart, and evil thoughts lead to evil actions, bad actions. And Jesus lists them. And funny enough, they're also linked to the Ten Commandments, murder, adultery, greed, covetousness. The defilement is in your heart. So whether you're the traditional religious person who says, I'm going to twist the law and make traditions that mean I don't have to obey the command to look after my parents, or whether you're saying my heart's the direction I'm going to go in, you're nailed on this point. Your heart is the problem. You can do you in a traditional way if you want, or you can do you in a modern spiritual way. And they seem poles apart, except Jesus says they're not. They're actually both rotten at the heart. Rotten at the heart. And contrary, therefore, to reachout.com and Hollywood, there is very much a right or wrong way to be spiritual, just as there is a right or wrong way to be religious. The point of Jesus is that he comes to do heart surgery for the religious, heart surgery for the spiritual. You do you is not the solution to your problem. You do you is the symptom of your problem. You do you refuses God's commands for the sake of what you want, and you will justify it any way you can. You just will. That's the way we are. And whether your you do you is traditional religion, where you're very moral, or it's spirituality that's modern, that's very inner, at its guts, you do you is about you. It refuses love of neighbor. It can just as easily call dishonoring your parents godly devotion, because that's what their moralist religious people were doing. And it can just as easily call adultery finding your true soulmate, murder exercising your choice, theft getting what is rightfully yours, and lewdness freedom to express yourself. That's what Jesus says in this passage, and it's super confronting. No other spirituality in the world is going to say that the problem of your heart, the heart of the problem, is the problem of the heart. It's not external, it's internal. So what's the solution? Religion? Spirituality? a new heart. The solution is a new heart. And only the one who knows the heart can change the heart. And here's the thing, it's not you. It's not you. In the Old Testament prophetic book of Jeremiah, in chapter 17, this is what it says. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. The Bible tells us that God knows the human heart, and Jesus demonstrates that he knows the human heart, not alongside God, but as God. Jesus is the way, is the truth, is the life. Jesus offers us the chance for true authenticity as the truly authentic one whose own heart was pure and true, and the one who merged perfect religious observance with perfect spirituality. He was a man for his time, a man for our time, a man for all time. He was the man who had every right to follow the line, you do you, but he gave up himself on the cross for our sakes because of our hearts. And here's the irony. If we are bound to him, if we lose our freedom, so to speak, here's what we gain. Freedom. The freedom we crave. A freedom that breaks the chains of self-serving religion and deceitful spirituality. A freedom that enables us to serve God and to serve others in a way that will even allow us to flourish in ways we could not understand. And it will give us a joy that cannot be found and cannot last in self-interest alone. Jesus did not do you do you, and he was the freest man alive. And he offers us that freedom today. Thanks for listening.
Well, thank you so much, Stephen, for the time. If you have questions, please put them down in the Q&A section down below, and we'll be able to get to those as soon as we can. I did have a question for you as you're kind of going through that, Stephen. I'd be curious if you would be able to go through and explain, do you have to be a Christian to be selfless, but is this what you're saying more than just being selfless in your reaction to the world and how you treat the world?
You've got to be more than selfless. Yeah, in one sense, Jesus, what Jesus says is you die to yourself.
Right.
That, and you can only do that, and you can only live again if your life is in his life. And that's part of the issue, is that we think if we just give stuff up, but Jesus says you gain more by taking me on and by dying to yourself. Right. That's critical. So I think the first observation is that we must understand what our human heart is like, whether we're morally, you know, pure in our own eyes, or whether we're the guys that wash our hands all the time when we come in from the marketplace, or whether the people that follow our own heart. We're not actually going to find the solution within ourselves or within our traditions. That's the key, I think.
Okay. Well, and so to clarify too, just going back through it, because so you're not necessarily saying that the traditions are bad. Is it really more the application of them? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Well, what Jesus says here is that what they've done with the traditions is to use them to put a fence around the law and avoid the law, keeping the law. So he's saying this Korban law, for example, or tradition that they had, allowed them to say to themselves, I'm devoted to God and I'm on a higher religious plane because I've devoted everything to God, not just the bit of money I'd give to my parents, but everything. Oh, that means I can't give anything to my parents because it's all devoted to God, so I can't give any of it out. And he's saying, you're breaking the law with your traditions. Now, traditions can be helpful, but not when they become the thing that is used to create a diversion away from what you should actually be doing.
All right. Well, thank you, Stephen. I think that's we don't have any other questions right now, so I'm just going to say, you know, what a great time to be able to kind of go through and consider this, I don't think.
I think there's a real sense in which we've got to understand that we cannot look into our hearts to find something that's going to actually save us. And that's hard to go against in the Hollywood setting.
Definitely. Definitely. It really is quite confronting, because it's what you said, like you're saying in almost every script you hear anymore is follow your heart, follow your dreams. But really, that's not what the Bible really teaches us. It's really more following God and looking at what Christ can offer us as far as following him. Yeah.
Now, if there were other questions, and I think there was one more question, I'm happy to take that on the Facebook page and answer that at length on the Facebook page, because I know we've run out of time.
All right. Well, no problem. Well, Stephen, thanks so much for this whole series, for the You Do You series. It's been really quite an honor to be able to kind of hear from that. And also, it is the last of the, not only the series, today's the last talk of the series, but it's also the last Bible Shots of the year. So thank you for all your work this past year with Bible Shots, but also with this whole series. And I think it's really quite poignant to kind of finish at this time during the Christmas season to kind of go through. And if you want to go through and really go in and dive in more into what Stephen was sharing about Jesus and finding out more about him, this is a great time of year to be able to do that. One of the things that we have at citybibleforum.org is a new Christmas collection, which includes different talks, articles, including Stephen's, and different reviews and things of various things that kind of go along with the Christmas theme, and also gives you opportunity to explore and know more about who Jesus is and find out more from the Bible. So we encourage you to come along, go along to citybibleforum.org and check that out. Also, if this is your first time coming along to Bible Shots, well, we're glad you joined us today, but if you'd like to hear the rest of the series, you can go and go to citybibleforum.org and actually be able to hear all of the talks from Stephen's series on You Do You. I think you'd really be encouraged by that, or even if you have been a part of the series, you can go back and do that again. So again, we want to thank you here at City Bible Forum for being a part of 2020. What a unique year we've been experiencing, but also here at Bible Shots for being online with us across the country and around the world, actually, for many people who have joined us. And we hope that you are able to engage with more content in the month ahead, because City Bible Forum doesn't shut down. We've got so many other things kind of going on. Make sure you go check out citybibleforum.org. But also, we hope that you too have a great Christmas season, and we look forward to seeing you in 2021.